If you haven't noticed, on the left-hand side of the homepage, we have columnists, and these are our friends, and just remarkable people who contribute directly or indirectly, and we post their material there. Frosty Wooldridge has not one but two sections in the columnist area on the left-hand side, because he is such an extraordinary man. His primary is all about politics, geopolitics, most especially the invasion of America. And the other is about adventure, the adventure of living, and how people cheat themselves out of so much in life. They're both remarkable, and I would urge all of you to take a look at them. And if you want to get away, go to the adventure. What's the formal title of that, Frosty? Welcome back.
Oh, yes, Jeff, thank you very much. Yeah, just the adventure category.
That's
you know,
right.
There's two categories there. Yeah, one of the things I really try to do when I post at rinse.com is to educate the American people. It really matters little if you're independent or you don't even vote at all, or you're a liberal or, you know, Democrat, or you're a Republican, or however you do your thing in this life. The key for me is to bring you the facts, give you an understanding, and certainly have you have an appreciation for what's going on in America. I'm one of those historians, if you will, and I've been doing that now, I think, 20 years on Rinse.com. And to me, it's important that we as American citizens understand where we are and what's going on and what we're doing to ourselves. And obviously, what we're doing to ourselves right now, whether it's those people there in Washington, D.C., and or the White House, it's not going so well for so many. And that at the same time, I also think that each one of us lives in a free country, which is still a free country, and that you have unlimited opportunities to take whatever work you would like to enjoy, whatever fits you the best. You also can choose where you want to live. You choose what you want to do. You get to choose where you're going to backpack or go skiing or bicycling or motorcycling or windsurfing or, you know, skateboarding. It doesn't make any difference. You can make your life as happy and fruitful and abundant as you wish by your choices. And so that category for adventure is something that's very meaningful to me, because I think that no matter what's going on in the world, you can make choices, and those choices have led me to some extraordinary moments on this planet. And that's from the Vietnam War right up to this present day. Even though I talk about a lot of serious stuff going on in America and around the world in my columns, I also continue to live an abundant life. I go skiing. I certainly go bicycling. I go mountain climbing. I swim every day, well, 6 days a week, because it's important to keep your body, mind, and spirit together and keep them balanced. And so that's why I have those two categories, and I think they're very important. I hope you enjoy both of them, one for the fun of life and the other one for the seriousness of what we're facing as a civilization
well,
and as a people.
Yes, you mentioned something very pivotal to our survival as a nation. And that's choices. They, the dark side, the dark ones, who want to take our choices away and be our captors, many would suggest that they're well on the way to doing that if they haven't already partially achieved it. They want to take those choices away from us. They want to restrict us in every law. And I again challenge you to think about this and honestly examine laws that are formed in committee, created by whatever lobby group, introduced by some congressman or senator. Every law that in that state or national, every law that's passed restricts choice. It takes away a little bit more of your freedom. Every single law, by definition, is restrictive against a free and open constitutional republic, which is what we live in. We don't live in a democracy out of the textbook. This is a constitutional republic, and I think many of you know that.
Well, and it's important to understand that a constitutional republic is probably the freest possible governance in the world.
Absolutely.
And yet, yeah, you're seeing our rights being abridged literally weekly by those people in Washington, D.C. I just heard another really painful story today where a New York City policeman was just killed, I think, by an illegal alien. And then you've got somebody like Gretchner, the governor of Michigan. Now she's using
Gretchen
taxpayer
Whitmer.
Money.
Whitmer.
Yeah, Michener. Yeah,
Whitmer.
Whatever her name is.
Whitmer.
Whitmer. Yeah. Whitmer. And she wants to use your tax dollars to pay for illegal aliens to be housed in your home. Of course, as I've said before, you look at the Roosevelt Hotel in New York City, 1,300 rooms at $500 a night, and then we're paying for the food for those illegal aliens.
She's offering $500 a month to cover rent. Now, there are already federal grants which far exceed that. So it's just gilding the lily of a free ride for these people who hate us. They don't like, most of them don't like us. And all the Democrats, the communocrats, all the communists in this country are doing are passing laws to further destroy what we have left. They all are. They're after total annihilation of what was once a magnificent light on the hill. They want it gone. They hate us. Our own people hate us. They hate themselves, really. It's sickening. It's just hard to believe, but it's true.
Well, it's true, and it's going at, you know, and I take anyone and everyone back to 2004, a book that I wrote from a speech by Governor Lamb at the time in Colorado, and he wrote The 8 Ways to Destroy America. And I asked him, and I heard the speech, and I was right there with him, and also when Victor Davis Hanson, whom I also met, wrote Mexifornia, and both men gave these speeches that, there was like 1,000 people in the room, and they were all immigration and population experts, and they just said back then, we can't keep doing what we're doing, it's unsustainable. Both sociologically, certainly linguistically, and culturally, and you can go right on down the line. And so I wrote the book, Immigration's Unarmed Invasion and Deadly Consequences. And again, I've said it many times that the book should have been a bestseller across the nation. It should have been read by every senator. It should have been read by every House member. It should have been read by every governor and every mayor. Because those 8 ways to destroy America have been, and right now are incredibly happening, and at such a speed that I never believed would happen, and yet
what have we seen, Frosty, just in the last 3 to 4 years? A complete degradation, if not annihilation, as I said a few minutes ago, of the soul and legal heart of this country. It's all been corrupted, perverted beyond measure. The Senate just passed a bill introduced by a so-called Republican that would stop Biden from using tax dollars to continue leasing airliners to fly people from dozens of different countries directly into the United States, and then they would be dispersed and settled in the communities near the airports. They would fly them in, take them off the plane, and force them, shoehorn them in to neighborhoods, communities, and some cities. Not huge cities, but they're putting them everywhere. This is so obvious what's happening. It's sickening. It is so painfully transparent. The country is being taken down by treason, and no one will do anything about it. No one will talk about it.
Sickening. Oh, that's exactly correct. As a matter of fact, I had, of course, I get a lot of people, because you have my email, that read my columns there on Rince.com. And there's one person wrote in from Idaho and said, we're one of 43 cities that are having these midnight flights of all these illegal alien migrants.
In Idaho? In the state of Idaho?
In Idaho.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
My.
That's correct.
Yeah. All right. There you go.
Yeah. And I forget what the numbers are, but they're into the hundreds of thousands. And this is all being done by U.S. taxpayer dollars, your money.
Yes. These people hate us. 90% of them are fighting age men. And if you can't connect those dots, you don't want to connect those dots. I understand, but you better wake up, because those people in a major calamity, a false flag event, or something natural, they will be, in many cases, like Governor Whitmer, Gretchen.
Whitmer.
She'll deputize them because she's got a shortage of cops. She's already made them into police in Michigan. I forget which city, Detroit maybe. But there are illegal invaders in this country. I know the term sounds redundant, but it's not. These are the worst kind. They're cops, and they're going to make them into police officers and turn them loose with guns to police you and I and other Americans who have fought and worked our entire lives to try to preserve and protect what's left of this country. Those people are going to be wearing guns, the power of life and death, over us.
I can tell you, when I bicycled across the northern tier of America back in 2017, right there when I was in north of Minneapolis in Minnesota, they had hired a DEI, a Somalian cop, and put a gun in his, I think it was a 357, into his holster.
Right.
And some lady from Sweden who was going to get married, and she called the cops to come because there was somebody mulling around her house or whatever, and she walked out to the cops in her nightgown, just a white nightgown.
Yeah, he executed her. I remember.
And he shot across the regular officer, out the cop, you know, out the window on the driver's side, and he was on the passenger side, and he shot the lady dead. Mm-hmm. And then all the Somalians, there's 125, 1,000 of them, all on welfare there in the Minneapolis area. It's called Somaliland now. They're trying to get him out of prison. He did get put up for 8 years, but now they're trying to do some kind
of a
sympathy.
That's a slap on the hand.
Oh, to bail him out.
Disgusting.
And again, that was a DEI hire. Totally incompetent. Again, unfortunately, those people coming from that country of Somalia have a 68 IQ. They shouldn't even give them a cap gun or a squirt gun, let alone a 357, and put them in a police uniform.
Frosty, it's treason. It just is.
Well, if you think we're going to escape what happened to the Moscow theater, and I know everyone listening to this broadcast, you had to watch what happened over there. We're going to be facing the same thing. And any one of us, or any 10 or 20 or 100 or 1,000 of us, could become the next Moscow terrorist attack here in the United States. It'll just be another 9/11. It could be a huge one. It could be a small one. It could be in any different, you know, number of ways. But you know it's coming. And yet, everyone that's nominating and voting, these people are voting for Joe Biden to be another 4 years in office. We're not going to have a country left by the time that dementia plagued old man.
He won't make it, but we
won't. He won't make it, I know.
And if they put the camel in as his VP, remember, she's being run by her husband, who is obviously a very important Jewish asset for Israel, right at the top level of the White House, the vice president. He's right, because she's a twit. He's running her.
Yeah.
By any measure.
She is a twit.
You can't come up with any other estimation of this. They love having a Mossad agent, or at least an asset, at the highest level, second highest level in the White House. They love it. So there it is.
And there it is, and you and I are going to, it's a guaranteed fact. If you look at all of the American citizens who've been killed by illegal aliens in the last 20 years, we're talking hundreds, folks, hundreds have lost their lives.
3,000 a year now, Frosty, 3,000 a year.
Is that what the average is? Yeah.
That's the latest projection.
Yeah, I think there is a website. I think it's called the Dark Side of Immigration. You might check it out, .org or .com. But
right.
3,000 people losing their lives. And again, what happens when the big one, you know, the Moscow event should give you a greater understanding of the reach of Muslim terrorists. And let's
hold on. Excuse me. The bottom line is, and now even the Russian FSB is saying that the United States, the UK, and Ukraine are firmly responsible for that attack. They recruited those four. The execution was done by four Muslims. They were from Tajikistan.
I don't know how to say it, but
one of the stands, Tajikistan. Right. Anyway, Tajikistan. And they were all 12 of them in the group were headed full flight back to Ukraine. They were going to receive a hero's welcome. They've gotten everything they want out of these people. They know who did it, and they're pointing right now at the U.S. and the U.K. and Ukraine, which is, of course, they'll go along to get along. Some money's there, as having been responsible for this. There's no, didn't take any brains to figure this out. They're trying to push Russia into doing something that'll trigger World War III. That's what they're trying to do.
I must say that whatever is going on,
it's not to give the Muslims, Frosty, a free ride at all. They were recruited and used, like many of them have been. Who created ISIS in the first place? Go back. Israel and the U.S., CIA.
No question. The U.S. created ISIS and all this going on.
It makes you sick to say it, but it's true. Anyway, we got four articles going up in news headlines any minute now. I haven't got confirmation they're up yet. No, not yet. Okay. Was that the voice of the lady of the house?
Yes.
That's good to hear. Nice.
Yeah.
Okay. Four articles by Frosty. Hold the Sky, What You Can Do About Personal Grief, and a lot of you listening are involved with exactly that. You've been injected, your loved ones have been injected, whatever. And they have been injured, and they are in agony. That's grief. Second article, the long ride at age 80, trading the sofa for a bicycle seat. That's vintage Frosty Woolridge, I'm sure. I just got these, and they're going up now. And then a single thread in the tapestry of life. Now, we've talked about that essay before, Frosty.
I remember. Yes, ma'am.
And then the other one, the voluptuousness of living. You know, Frosty Woolridge, don't listen, Frosty. I'm going to pay you a compliment here. Oh, you can listen. Frosty Woolridge is a new, he's kind of reminds me of Thoreau and other great writers of the 18th century, early 19th century. There's some marvelous people. And Frosty is one of our great, he's not a philosopher as much as he's a commentator on life. And he does it in such a way that he can bring it home for anyone to be able to understand. He's got the gift of communication that few have. So keep it up, my friend. Great job.
Thank you.
All of
you. Thank you.
You're welcome. You're very welcome. Okay. Now, you live at the 8,000-foot level.
Correct. And
I was told that Boulder is 10,000 feet.
Boulder's only 5,000 feet. Where I live in Golden, Colorado, up in the mountains on the west side, I'm at 8,000 feet, and it's beyond the foothills, and we're up in the rarefied air of what is called the high country.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, I didn't think Boulder was 10, but I knew it was up there. There's still, it's the same as Denver, about, isn't it? 5,000 feet?
Right, that's correct. Like that. That's correct.
Yeah. All right. So the last time Frosty was on, we talked about what he saw in Denver. And what he saw in Denver was horrific. It's being seen in virtually all major cities, especially those cities that are in a communist state. I'm not going to pull any punches here. These are not socialists, not liberals. They're communists. They're flat out designing their efforts to take this country down. And what he's seeing there, and I think it's probably 100,000. We had Gary Holland on last week. He figures 100,000 at least in L.A. are homeless, living on the streets. And many of those,
correct,
of course, they're invaders. Now, you're having invaders all over the streets of Denver. Am I correct?
Oh, that's correct, yeah. We previous to the 3 years ago, we had 10,000 homeless who just camped out all over Denver, begging on every street corner, defecating in every possible way you can imagine, drunk, stoned, everything pathetic and just horrible beyond belief. All all the way out to the the Colosseum there, and you name it, they're everywhere, and you can't get away from them, and it's a plague, obviously. But you're correct. In California, it's the latest figures are 172,000 homeless between San Francisco and L.A., and then all the way down to San Diego, and they're starting to have new laws to put them out of business in San Diego because it's just destroying San Diego. Well, it's already destroyed L.A., and it certainly has destroyed. I would say this right now: San Francisco is a dying city.
Portland,
and it was once
Seattle,
the most magnificent.
The whole West Coast. Yeah. The West Coast is essentially gone.
Yeah, well, Seattle has 10,000. You know, and the reason I can say this with such certitude is because I traveled on a bicycle through all of these homeless. Mm-hmm. I mean, I saw it firsthand, mm-hmm. and it is ugly. It's sad. It's pathetic. It's painful to watch your own citizens, American citizens, living in such depravity. And such drug usage and such hopelessness and futility, but that's what's going on. And so, yeah, it's not just in the West Coast. It's not just the East Coast. It's in the center of the country. It's in the heartland. It's in all the big cities. And the reason for that is Joe Biden has imported somewhere around 11 to 12 million illegal aliens. And even Tyson Chicken's starting to hire them and fire American citizens. And so you're seeing your own, and I can tell you this, we've got those 40,000, and they're still coming in. It might be up around 50,000 by now, homeless illegal aliens here in the Denver streets. So that's now a total of 50,000 plus homeless, and there's no way to solve it. And yet, my two senators, Hickenlooper and Bennett, are literally guilty of treason. They're guilty of fraud. They're guilty of lying. They're guilty of not doing their jobs. And the same thing with the open borders governor, Polis, Jared Polis, who was once a House member, open borders, sanctuary city. That's what's happening to us. And at some point, we're getting all of the businesses downtown Denver just being shoplifted to death. They're going broke. The graffiti that's everywhere, the human waste that's everywhere, the tents that are all over California, 14th and 15th. I've taken pictures of them. There's no solution here, and that's what we're facing.
Got it. All right, hold on just a sec. We'll take a little break. Come right back with Frosty. As we continue on this Tuesday, stand by. Okay, welcome back. Talking with fabulous Frosty, who has been bicycling around the world. Do you know anyone who's honestly, not that you're in this for in any way, shape, or form, ego, but who has anyone pedaled further and seen more than you have of this planet?
And if there,
there's a German.
There's a German named Heinz Stuck, S-T-U-C-K-E.
Right.
He's 80 years old, and he has bicycled through 190 countries. And so, yeah, he's the world record holder at this point. And he's still out there, and he's still pedaling, and that's all he did his whole life. Uh-huh. And he actually wrote a book that was a German European bestseller. But you can look him up, Heinz Stuck, S-T-U-C-K-E, and 190 countries in his lifetime, and just an extraordinary bicycle person out there in the world.
Yeah, yeah.
There's another one, is a lady from the Netherlands, and she's been on the road, and she's younger, though, and she's quite attractive, actually. She's Dutch, and you can go to her. Her name is Willick. Hera van Willick, that's it. Hera van Willick, W-I-L-L-I-K, I think. But you can find her, and she has a video out. It's called Pedal, P Rinsdal on YouTube, and you can see her traveling across six continents. I mean, she's probably done less than 100 countries at this point, but this lady, nothing stops her. She loves to live on the road, and she gets people, you know, literally send in money to her website, and she entertains and inspires women and others around the world with her bicycle travels. And there's certainly a lot more. If you go onto Facebook, there's probably 50 different Facebook pages of world travelers. On any given moment, there are hundreds.
How do you spell her last name? I'm on YouTube Willick. Here. I'm trying to find it. VanWillick.
Willick. Willick. Or I'm not sure, but it should just YouTube and pedal. PEDAL.
Okay.
And pedal. It's astounding what she does.
Well, and do you bicyclists stick together, kind of?
No, you know, bicyclists, when they get together, bicyclists on the road will share the campfire, share stories. Uh-huh. And what's really nice about it is nobody really one-ups anyone else, because there's always somebody in that campfire that has literally traveled all over the planet. And they're all crisscrossing Europe right now. They're crisscrossing Africa. They're crisscrossing all of South America. They're traveling around Australia, certainly across the United States. Some of them go into the coldest situations. I just got a letter from a cycler, Doug Armstrong, who's done all seven continents. He's traveled through 137 countries, and he's up there in Alaska right now bicycling in the snow. There are amazingly travel spirits out there in the world, men and women, that are seeing the planet on a bicycle. And whatever has held me in the arms of and the passion of pedaling a bicycle all these last 50-odd years of my life, it's something that pulls at you. And once you answer that pull, if you will, you answer that call, it's in you for life, and you're always looking forward to the next journey. And so, yeah, it's pretty phenomenal. Have you found pedal yet with her?
No, I'm looking.
Darn. I'll look it up and I'll send it to you, because she's really phenomenal.
I know. This is on YouTube. Here it is. Well, it's pedaled official store. Discover our...
No.
Collections, that's not it. Pedaled,
no.
Born in Tokyo, Japan, that's not it. There's a lot of pedaled entries here. I don't know. Well, anyway, send it
to Hera, H-E-R-A, Van, V-A-N,
oh, okay.
Willick.
H-E-R-A, I had the V-A-N right. Last, spell Van, Willick, V-A-N-W?
Yeah.
How do you spell Willick?
I think it's Willick, but I'm not sure.
All right. Let's see if Hera picks it up. There it is. All right, it's H-E-R-A, Hera Van Willick, Willick. There it is. Okay.
Yep. And when you watch it, you'll be inspired. I mean, she's riding in the snowstorms and in the Alaska, in Norway. She's unending.
Oh, she's got her own. She got a little camera set up on her handlebars on her bike, and she talks and rides. Do you do that too?
I have done that. Yes.
You don't seem like the type.
We all have our own little ways of getting. You know, I take pictures and take, you know, write words. Yeah, there she is, right there. Yeah, Hera Van Willick. Chasing. Yeah, there's one where she's chasing the fall in Canada. And then there's Hera Van Willick taking the world by bicycle. An hour well wasted. I mean, she does amazing stuff. Yeah, there she is.
A rainy
there's
day
a bunch
in
of her.
Nicaragua. That's funny.
Mm-hmm. Now, here's one right here. 1 year cycling around the world, a bicycle touring short film. Yeah, there's a lot. Here's one, the don'ts of Nicaragua. Oh, here's one in Patagonia. In fact, there's I rode right through Patagonia. I rode right into the Torres del Pines, just like she did. Yeah, these are great shots.
Did you go to Bariloche?
Oh, yeah, Bariloche. Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Well, that,
I've
that
been
lake,
all over South America.
That's Lake Nahuapi is actually how you pronounce it. And now on that lake... On the backside, under what look like the Alps, but they're the Andes, up in a finger off that lake is where Adolf Hitler and Eva Braun were spirited away at the end of the war and lived out their lives. They lived in that place back up there and on that lake for 10 years, 1945 to 1955. Yep, true story.
Wow.
We have the truth here. Anyway. History is written by the winners, and they have no problem lying. Serves their purpose.
Oh, of course. Absolutely.
So
no question about it.
He was there. The house was there. The house was just bought recently and is now being actually renovated. It's a big Bavarian-style chalet. I'll send you a little overview of it. You'll find it interesting.
Oh, my gosh.
There's a little village over there called Visha, I believe, Angostura. It's on the opposite side of the lake from Bariloche. And it's about 3-4 miles from the actual secret, super secret hit. There was no one there in 1935, 1940, 45. No one.
Right.
There were no highways there. Nothing.
Right.
They have a highway all the way around the lake now. So anyway, it's right back there. I'll send you the overview of it. It's very interesting.
Oh, I look forward to that.
Okay.
You know, just looking at all these cycling shots, yeah. For those of you who would love to follow Hera Van Willick, she's got hour-long shows, and they're all quite interesting. And she's got one, The Road to China. She's an amazing woman, and she really does a lot of fun. She has a lot of fun on her travels around the world.
Nice. Well, they all look like they're narrated. The sound appears to be sound on them. So
yep,
she puts
yep.
together some little edited, finished products. Yeah,
yes,
that'd be fun
does.
To do. Very good. Okay, well, thanks for that. Excellent.
Yeah, she's on TED Talks, too. You know, one of the things that I think is really important that every one of us that lives in a free country, usually a Western country where you can at least have some kind of ability to choose mm-hmm. your life, it's important to whether you look towards somebody who's a rafter, you know, the people who raft big rivers, you can follow them because they make the YouTube. One of the ladies who stayed over our house last fall was the name Emery Sharplin, Sharplin. She graduated from the University of Texas, and she was like 28 years old. And she was quite tall, about 5 feet 10, and very bright, and she backpacked the Appalachian Trail. And she did a video of it, and you can go on YouTube and look up 10 more, T-E-N-M-O-R-E, 10 more, and that was her call sign, 10 more miles. And this lady can hike anybody under the table. And so she made a video of her hike all the way from Springer Mountain in Georgia all the way up 2,175 miles to Maine at the end of the Appalachian Trail. And her video is three sections. I highly recommend it. I've seen all three sections. And then having had her visit our house with Sandy and me, I then thought, my gosh, this lady, and how does she make a living? She's a skydiver. She teaches people how to jump out of airplanes. And that's how she makes a living, and that's how she does her life. And so I thought, why not? I had her email, and I had her phone number, and I asked her to ride on the Lewis and Clark Trail in 2025 with me to be my co-partner Sacagawea, and also to videotape the entire ride from St. Louis, Missouri, where Lewis and Clark started out, all the way up to Missouri to Great Falls and up over the mountains and down onto the Clearwater and then down into, the Columbia River all the way to Fort Clapsett, where they wintered in 1805, 1806. And so she said, yes. So I'm going to be able to ride with a lady, and there's about five of us at this point. I'm not going to have more than six. But she's going to be, I don't know if you remember, Sacagawea was the Indian maiden who actually saved all their lives there at the last part of the ride. And she's going to go on the ride with me, so it's going to be a lot of fun.
And this is coming up when?
2025, so that's like 1 year and 2 months from now.
All right. Now, I'm looking under Hera Van Willick and her videos. The most current video was 9 years, 7 years, 5 years. I can't find anything newer than 5 years. Now, 5 years ago, she was bicycling, apparently with a friend, Holger Franz Hagenbusch, and he was killed on the road in Mexico while they were biking. And I'm wondering if that had something to do with her lack of recent posts of videos. I'm just not seeing anything new. Doesn't mean they aren't there. Maybe they're on another channel.
Yeah, they could be.
She lost
a friend. She's still alive. So, alive. So she may be quiet at this point in time. You never know.
Right. Okay, well, thanks for that. Congratulations to her for her achievements as well. And here's a picture of you at the bottom of your essay. There are four essays that Frosty has submitted. They'll be under his name and guests. And they'll be in his columnist sections as well. Hold the Sky, What Can You Do About Personal Grief, as I mentioned earlier. The Long Ride at Age 80, Trading the Sofa for a Bicycle Seat. Another one, A Single Thread in the Tapestry of Life. And The Voluptuousness of Living. Very nice titles. In the Tapestry of Life video, at the bottom of it is Frosty outside the Roman Colosseum. And what an edifice that is. It's still there. It just amazes me. They didn't use poured concrete and rebar back then. I don't know how they did it, but it's still up.
You know, that it is amazing because they didn't have rebar to support all that concrete, but the Romans did have concrete. But if you notice, all of the buildings back then, they put arches on everything. And then they always use the arches to handle all of the different weight. But the Colosseum held 60,000 people. So I took a historical guide took us through that, and I mean they had ship battles. I mean, and obviously the Romans in the 400 years of the games, they killed 1 million gladiators in that Colosseum, and 3 million animals died in that Colosseum.
Right,
so
there.
It was a bloodthirsty bunch of people back then, but that was their blood sport. Whereas these days we pay our gladiators, which are the NFL, millions of dollars.
I've seen it many times.
We still like to see somebody hurting somebody else because, let's face it, NFL football, I mean, you get your body torn to pieces. There was a study that was just done and came out about 3 weeks ago. 91.7% of former NFL players have CTE. Which is brain damage. So they all pay a very serious cost by playing such a violent sport.
These are gladiators, and it's sanitized Roman Colosseum, bloody bread and circuses entertainment. That's what organized sports is. It's our army against your army. Or if it's another version, they'll have animals as the victims, and they'll kill them. The Roman people were really remarkable, but they really were rather depraved in their entertainment preferences. It was pretty sickening what they did.
Oh, yeah, and please realize that slaves built, the Colosseum. Slaves built the roads. And I've traveled by bicycle on a lot of the Roman roads, and I've certainly traveled to all of the the summer homes of all the big wigs that were, you know, power brokers. There's always rich people, and there's the rest of us in all those big, you know, civilizations. And the Romans absolutely used slaves to build all those roads, all those aqueducts. Everything was built by slaves. So, yeah, pretty ugly and pretty nasty, the entire Roman, you know, the whole Roman Empire. It was built on blood and guts and the conquest and killing and you name it. So that's the bloody footprint and the bloody footsteps on the path toward the present day. And then when you look around the world right now, look at all the war that's going on around the world. It hasn't stopped. It seems to be, it's a part of how humans operate. I don't quite understand it, but I've certainly watched it. And to this day, you know, the happiest day of my life is when I got out of the U.S. Army back in June 13th in 1971. And I had all my fingers and toes, and I was in one piece. So I'm always thankful for that.
Right, right. There's another Colosseum in Verona, mm-hmm. Italy.
Yep.
And it's quite similar to the big one, but it's not, I don't
yep.
think it's as big, but it's close. And they still have events in there all the time. Sold-out
yep.
events.
So. Oh, yeah. You can go to places like Siena, or you can go to Volterra. And like in Volterra, these are all walled cities. You have to understand, there were always, just like we have the Kansas City Chiefs going up against San Francisco 49ers in this bloodbath of the Super Bowl or any, you know, any of these games, and everybody's cheering their guts out and they're all drunker than skunks. And it's meaningful for their team to beat the other team and, you know, kill the quarterback and so forth. But they had the same thing over in Rome. And all the leaders of each one of those cities, that's how they built walls around their cities to protect themselves from the other cities charging against them and trying to subdue them. So nothing much has changed in thousands of years. And from what I can tell, nothing is going to change because we're still going to be at war with each other for as long as humans roam the earth.
Now we're stuck in a very ugly rut.
And
I think that's behind some of the sentiment of the global elite who want to remove many people from this planet. They look at them and say, well, they're useless eaters. What are they doing? Nothing new in the last 2,000, 3,000 years. Same old, same old. They got technology now, but it's the same stuff. Organized professional sports is warfare, sanitized warfare. Our army against your army, whether it's an arena or it's an outside football field, it doesn't matter. These are armies against armies, if you think about it. So it's the same old stuff. It really is nothing new.
There's no question. There's nothing new. And for whatever is in the DNA of human beings, I think it gets down to being tribal. And then once you have your tribe, whether it's the Kansas City Chiefs or the Chicago Bears or, you know, the Pittsburgh Steelers or, you know, you can just go right on down the line. Everyone's trying to do everything they can to fill those stadiums and entertain all of those people of that tribe. And that tribe is the city. And, you know, I've been to two Broncos games. I've never seen such behavior. I mean, they get drunker than skunks. They're screaming and yelling and profanity and, you know, kill the quarterback. And, I mean, I'm just vile.
This is the Denver Broncos.
Hell yeah, the Denver Broncos. But, you know, it's any football team and it's any tribe. And they're all those crazy, I guess these characters that are up there screaming and their team's got to win, they don't have a life because they actually have, if the Broncos are losing, people check into the therapist to try to get their attitude back up because they're so
depressed. They take it that seriously? They're that seriously impacted? How sad.
Yeah. They don't have a life other than the winning or losing of the football team. And, you know, I say, hey, I'd rather go for a walk in the woods, take a hike up a mountain, you know, take a canoe on a lake and or take a bicycle ride or any of a dozen other activities that I enjoy here in the Rocky Mountains or anywhere, really. I mean, you can be in Florida. You get to go scuba diving. You get to go windsurfing year-round. You can go snorkeling. You can go kiteboarding. I mean, there's no end to the activities that you can do as a person. You know, and it's funny, like this long ride at 80, trading a sofa for a bicycle seat. I met this guy on the West Coast a couple years ago, and he was coming down from Alaska and riding to Panama. And I said, well, heck, I've done that. It's no big deal. He says, yeah, but I'm 80 years old. And so anyway, here's this guy, 80 years old. Well, we started talking, and anyway, I said, well, why don't you just go away to the bottom of South America? Well, guess what? About 3 weeks ago, I got an email from him because I wrote the foreword to his book. And it was called The Octogenarian Odyssey, Trading a Sofa for a Bicycle Seat. And he asked me to write the foreword to the book, and I did. And anyway, he just hit the bottom of South America. He has the Guinness Book World of Record, and he's now 81 years old, and he rode a bicycle 18,000 miles from Alaska to the bottom of South America. So what it means is that each one of us has the ability and the choices to do just extraordinary things with our lives while we're here on this planet. And his name is Robert D. Fletcher, and his book that he wrote it was just fantastic. It was an Octogenarian Odyssey, Trading a Sofa for a Bicycle Seat. And you can even go on his website. It's octoodyssey.com. And so if any of these inspire you, whether it's Hold the Sky, the person who was, this lady had cancer, and they asked her, well, how do you keep your spirits up? And she said, I hold the sky. And she actually beat the cancer, and today she is an artist who paints landscapes. Oh, nice. You know, in color. And so each one of these stories that you might would like to, and share with friends, even the single thread in the tapestry of life, to walk into a church and hear children singing in a walled city there in Tuscany, let me tell you, it's a story that will stay with you the rest of your life. And of course, the voluptuousness of living. We all have that choice to go out there and enjoy life and feel life inside of ourselves and with our body, mind, and spirit. So I highly recommend all four of these stories, and they'll get a hold of you. And when they do, they might take you on a journey that you might also make, you know, for yourself in your own life.
Nice. 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 Thank you for opening those doors, Frosty. Very much appreciated.
Pleasure.
Always.
Absolutely.
Okay. We will talk soon. In fact, I'll talk to you tomorrow. So,
yes, I'll talk to you tomorrow. That sounds great.
Okay.
I look forward to it.
Okay. Good night, Frosty.
Good night.
Well. All right. And there he goes. What an interesting, fascinating, incredible life he is leading. We will be right back with David Oates from Australia. Let's find out what David has. He's got reversals on Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who today announced that his VP running mate will be a woman who named Shanahan. I mentioned Nicole Shanahan, I believe it is. I mentioned a week ago or so, she's largely considered to be a communist, so whatever. The Freak Show continues. We'll be right back with David in just a few minutes. Hold on.